Chapter 13. The blood roared in my ears at the pleading note in Zoe's dusky voice, and I hefted her up into my arms. She then wrapped her strong legs around my waist as I carried her over to the lumpy mat in the middle of what Zoe labeled the fighting room. I was definitely planning on putting that mat to good use, but not in a way conducive to fighting.
Oh, I missed your strong hands on my body.
Zoe moaned as she twisted her fingers sharply in my hair, and I squeezed her perfect ass just so she would tug harder. The sting felt good against my scalp, and my cock throbbed urgently in my pants. We were both entirely too clothed and entirely too vertical for my liking, so I didn't waste any more time in laying her down on the textured mat. Goddess, Zoe, I groaned at the feeling of her wonderfully alive body splayed out underneath me, and then I sucked in a sharp breath when her hand found its way up under my tunic so she could scratch burning lines into my hot skin.
You must take this off,
she practically growled as she tugged on my tunic with her other hand. I hurried to comply, especially when she used that tone of voice, because good goddess, she was hot when she was bossy. Better? I asked with an arched eyebrow. Zoe arched her eyebrow back, and then in a maneuver that made my head spin, she hooked her leg over my side and flipped our positions so she was the one on top straddling my hips.
Much,
she said, and her cool fingers trickled down my chest and abs like raindrops on glass. Fuck, baby, I hissed when she rolled her hips against mine, and I kneaded her outer thighs through the skin-tight material of her leather pants. My fingers crawled up to the laces at the front, and I tickled the half moon of her belly button I could see peeking over her waistband.
Hey!
She giggled and snatched my fingers as I tried to make her squirm. She laughed and clamped her strong legs on either side of my hips, and we wrestled like that for a few moments until her eyelids lowered, and she held my hand flat against her belly. Then she moved both our hands up under her shirt, and I took the hint and helped her take off her top. Her beauty never failed to leave me speechless, and I let my starving hands roam up the sides of her curved waist and up to her breasts that were rosy from arousal.
Oh, yes.
Zoe continued to sensuously swirl her hips around in a circle, and she arched her back beautifully when I caressed my thumbs around her pale pink nipples. Gorgeous, I murmured, and I sat up with her in my lap so I could bury my face in that dewy valley where her heathery meadow scent was the strongest. Then, as if she was an ice cream cone, I licked a stripe between her breasts over her heart.
Oh, my love,
she purred, and she tossed her dark head back as I found the hard nub of her right breast and swirled my tongue around it.
Oh, please.
I got you, kitten, I said, and then rocked us forward. So she was back to laying prone underneath me.
Your mouth.
She gazed at me with a burning desire I could feel, as if her eyes were caressing me, and I bent toward my task by first trailing open-mouthed kisses over her fluttering tummy while my hands made short work of her pants and boots. Zoe arched her back, and her legs fell open to reveal the pink shell of her pussy nestled in the thatch of her dark hair. Her natural musk was stronger now, and I hunkered down and threw her legs over both my shoulders.
Oh!
She wailed when I immediately went down on her and lapped at her wet arousal.
Yes, Alex!
It was music to my ears, and I stiffened my tongue to a firm point so I could lick under the hood of her clit until the rosebud of her pleasure was in full bloom. Zoe's legs shook, and she thrashed her head from side to side as I sensed a familiar tension begin to build within her. She frantically kneaded her hands in the sheets, in my hair, and then in her own hair, as if looking for something solid to hang on to during her tumultuous ride.
Oh, don't stop!
She gasped in desperation, and I worked my tongue and lips harder even though my jaw was beginning to ache with the strain. She was right there on the knife's edge of pleasure. But I could tell she needed an extra push. So with my other hand, I reached up and offered her two of my fingers. Suck, I ordered, when I came up for air, and I watched raptly as she drew my first two fingers between her luscious lips. I grunted as she used her own tongue to thoroughly drench my digits with her saliva, and the wicked gleam in her eyes made me flex my hips into the padding as my dick sought momentary relief from the friction. Finally, when I felt like my fingers were wet enough, I resumed my previous task, only this time my fingers slipped into her silky passage and crooked upwards as if I was beckoning her pleasure to come closer and closer. And come she did, in a long, undulating wave of pleasure, as her climax rolled through her sensual body, and she bent and flexed like a sine wave.
"Alex! Alex! Alex!"
she chanted as her hands found their way into my hair again so she could pull me up.
"Mercedes, please, I need you inside me."
I growled and raced up her perfect body so I could devour her mouth, and I used one hand to shimmy my pants down far enough in order to pull my cock out. Part of me wanted to draw this out like we usually did, but the fire in my veins was too great, and I eagerly lined myself up with her opening so I could slide home in one mighty thrust. "Fuck!" I stuttered out as the feeling of her clenching inner muscles rippled and pulsed around me.
"Oh, I feel like I'm imploding,"
she whimpered, and her breasts heaved with her rapid panting as I bottomed out inside her. "Oh, you feel so good, baby," I said, and then sat up on my knees. Now that the initial edge of being so tightly sheathed within her was tolerable, I slowly pulled out entirely before slamming home again all the way to the root.
"Alex!"
Zoe wailed, and her hand scrambled to hold on to something again as if she was about to fly off into orbit. "Yeah, baby, come on," I ordered, as I pulled my heavy cock all the way out and left her completely vacant before filling her again in one smooth rush.
"Oh, oh, goddess,"
she hissed and nearly bent herself in half from how sharply her back arched off the mat.
"I'm so close."
"Oh, that's it," I cooed, and then repeated the process one more time as I added a few stoking fingers to her outer pearl. When she came, it was like fireworks. Her whole body seemed to light up, and she couldn't help but pull herself upright as she tried to prolong her orgasm for as long as possible by grinding down feverishly against my dick. My arms immediately went around her back in order to help her balance, and as one, we both rocked and gyrated together in a violent dance.
"Oh, Alex, yes, I can feel you getting bigger inside me,"
Zoe whined as her arms wrapped around my neck while I dug my heels into the mat and thrust up as hard as I could. "Oh, you're gonna make me come," I growled out, and I slammed her hips down even harder with my hands.
"I want you to,"
she moaned, and met me thrust for thrust.
"I want to feel you filling my womb with your essence. I want you to put babies inside me."
"Oh, Zoe!" I cried out sharply as my orgasm took me by surprise and suddenly ripped through me, and I crushed her against me so I could hold on through the intensity.
"Oh, husband, I can feel you. Oh!"
Zoe trembled and rocked harder in my lap until she clenched impossibly tight around me and toppled into her second orgasm without any warning. Her spasming muscles caused my hips to jerk up involuntarily, and we both clutched each other at the mercy of our shared climax. I poured and poured and poured into her while we spasmed to a peak of ecstasy. Even coming down was just as intense as going up, and the two of us shook in each other's arms as powerful aftershocks kept me semi-hard enough to keep us rolling through on a heady high as the pleasure ebbed out of us like the slowly retreating tide. When I was coherent enough to actually put the words into sentence doing, I turned my face up to Zoe and declared very eloquently, "Fuck."
"I agree,"
the languid catwoman sighed as she curled her long silky tail around the two of us and slowly nuzzled her face next to mine.
"Is it usually that intense, or is it just because we haven't seen each other in a bit?"
I asked, as I soothed the bruises already blooming on her tender hips with the pads of my thumbs.
"I think you triggered what my species calls a soft heat,"
Zoe mused as she snuggled her head under my chin, so I had no choice but to hold her close.
"Your absence, combined with watching you interact with Rylan, must have signaled my body to attract you to me as a viable mate."
"You're always attractive to me," I murmured, and swept her beloved dark locks behind her so I could run my fingers through the fine strands. Crazy intense pheromones or not.
And I find you pleasing as well, my husband.
She purred, and we both hissed as my member finally softened enough and slid out of her passage with a wet squelch. Zoe shivered at the sensation, and I traced idle patterns into her lower back to get her to settle again.
It's like my body wants to practice for you before I come into mating season.
Well, we can practice any time you like, kitten. I rumbled against her velvety ear, and it flicked me with a butterfly kiss against my lips. I smiled wearily and buried my nose in her crown so the sweet grass smell of endless summer could fill me up. Thank you, by the way.
For what, my love?
She asked, and then leaned back in my lap so she could try to read my expression. She was always there for me like a supporting pillar, silently holding me up even when I didn't notice. So I tried to make my expression open and honest in a way I usually never did. As far as the words I needed to tell her, well, I couldn't have said anything better than the ones she delivered to me. So I took Zoe's hands in mine, as if we were exchanging long overdue marriage vows, and repeated the only promise that mattered between the two of us. Thank you for holding me up when I lack the strength, and for loving me when I forget, I whispered reverently and kissed the tips of her fingers. And I promise to do the same for as long as I live.
You are my everything,
Zoe said, as her hand came up to cup my jaw, and then she leaned in to place a kiss on my brow, the arch of my nose, and over each closed eyelid before pressing a final one to my lips. The kiss was chaste, but it was one of the most meaningful kisses of my entire life. Much later, when we finally emerged from our hazy bubble and put ourselves back together, my head felt clear and the unsettled feeling in my core was quieted for the time being. I felt restored and armed with a plan of attack, and the first overarching goal I framed in my mind would be to make sure Ithaca Estate was in top working order so things like the barn fiasco wouldn't happen again. Will you go with me to the palace square? I asked Zoe as we exited the training room into the dark and quiet manor. I wasn't sure how much time we'd spent doing other activities, but I got the feeling it was pretty late, so I kept my voice down. Mech summoned me to the Sun Temple tomorrow at something called Mid-Epoch, and according to Bowden, I also need to go to a woodcutter, I guess?
Mid-Epoch means the middle of the day,
she clarified, and I nodded as I led us back to the main staircase that connected all of the floors in the manor.
And of course I will go with you. If you think I'm willing to be absent by your side now that you are with me, think again.
Are you threatening me? I growled playfully, and caught her wrist so I could spin her around and trap her with her back against the wall.
What if I am?
She challenged, and rubbed her face against mine in a way that was aggressively sweet, and the rumble of her purr started up when she switched sides and nuzzled my other cheek.
I like feeling your skin, by the way.
Shay suggested I was overdue for a shave, I murmured, and anchored one of my thighs between hers so she could feel how securely I had her pinned. Her hands came up to my broad shoulders, and she flexed my deltoids between her fingers in a way I knew meant she liked whatever it was she was feeling.
I do like feeling your skin, but there was something nice about the hair on your chin, especially whenever you rubbed your face between my thighs.
Zoe then curled one of her legs up the back of mine and leaned in to bite my earlobe. Her smile grew into a smirk as she could no doubt feel my breath quicken. And if I wasn't already so spent, I would have probably taken her right there in the stairwell with that little antic. Oh, you better watch out, or we'll never make it upstairs, I breathed out and captured her mouth.
Oh, that wouldn't be the worst thing,
she whispered, and then she dove back in for more. We made out with fervor for a few heated moments as our tongues tangled for dominance, but the intensity didn't burn for very long and instead simmered down to a gentle give and take. It was more of a comfort and shared intimacy than it was about being sexy. And despite our earlier flirting, we didn't really take the kiss beyond anything more than that. Finally, Zoe pulled away, and I let some space in between us, only long enough to indulge in a warm hug.
Shall we go check on our guests?
She asked, as she laced our fingers together. Yeah, I hope everyone is resting, I said. And then we continued up to the second floor where our guests were staying.
Ah, look at who has come in at last,
Madam Midgeons said from the chair she'd set up between the two rooms where her patients rested. She glanced up from her task of carving something with a sharp bone knife and smirked at us knowingly. Yep, just doing the rounds, I said awkwardly and rubbed the back of my neck like a busted teenager home past curfew.
No need to be shy.
The batty priestess grinned so wide I could see she had a gold canine that flashed in the dim light from the sconces.
Everybody needs that type of healing from time to time. These old bones can tell your souls are entwined in harmony.
I didn't really know what to make of that, so I just shrugged and squeezed Zoe's hand where it was still unashamedly held in mine. How are Rylan and Horace?
Horace is sleeping soundly, and his wound is tidy.
The Batwoman rose to her feet and shook out her right wing.
However, the boy is ill at ease.
What's wrong? I asked, and my thoughts immediately began racing to worst-case scenarios. Is he in pain?
Only the pain of the heart,
she said, and tisked in that way of hers.
He has been waiting for you and forces himself to stay awake in case you come. He has been worried you will not.
Of course I'm going to check in on him. Why wouldn't I?
I have no answer, only that the brain plays tricks and lies to us often about our own value.
The Bat Priestess said cryptically, and she rested a hand in the crease of her waist and hip as if the joint was causing her trouble.
Now, would you please put the young boy out of his misery and pat him on the head so this old woman can finally get some rest?
I will go right now so we can all get some rest, I said, and I gave Zoe a grateful smile when she then offered her arm to Madam Midgeon.
Let me escort you to your room, madam,
my cat wife said.
Thank you, child,
the Batwoman said as she tucked her hand through the crook of Zoe's elbow. I'll only be a moment, and then I'll meet you upstairs, I told my catwife, and she nodded her dark head as she escorted the Bat Priestess to her room across the hall. Then I turned, cracked open the door at the far end of the corridor, and peeked my head inside. The light from the hallway slanted into Rylan's room and cut a jagged line across his bed covers, and it was just enough light for me to see the lump under the blanket startle and then still as the boy in the bed tried to muffle his quiet sobs and pretend like he was asleep. The fact he'd been up here crying for hours instead of getting some much-needed rest caused that tender, protective feeling inside me to rear its head again. But this time I wasn't taken off guard by the feeling, and the sight of the lonely figure on the bed hit home with a foster kid like me who'd spent plenty of cold, dark nights in the exact same way. Seeing myself in Rylan was the last piece that clicked with me about how much I really did care about the brat. And any remaining awkwardness or uncertainty I felt whenever I tried to deal with him melted away when I realized just how similar we were. So I just did the one thing I always wished a caring adult would do when I was younger and hurt and alone. I went to him. Rye, I whispered. I wanted to give him an out just in case he was too embarrassed or really didn't want any comfort. But that notion was unfounded, because the moment I sat down on the side of the bed, he bolted up and wrapped his wiry arms around my neck. Whew. Hey, bud, watch your leg, okay? Why aren't you resting?
I can't sleep most nights,
he confessed as he shivered against me, and I rubbed little circles between his shoulder blades. Why? I asked, and maneuvered us so I was half reclining against the headboard with my arm around him so he could keep his bad leg extended.
Worry.
He answered as he sighed, rested his messy head against my chest, and twisted the blanket between his hands. About? I coaxed. I didn't want to pry too much, but if the kid wasn't sleeping, that was a problem. He was a kid, and he needed enough rest to stay healthy. I knew that much, at least. He started in a strangled voice, and I rubbed my palm up and down his arm a few brisk times in order to keep him going.
I'm only here because you don't know what else to do with me. I was just given to you. And if I want to stay, I have to make sure I'm good enough for you to want to keep me.
I sucked in a sharp breath as something small and hurt clamped down inside me at hearing those words aloud. How many times have I thought the same toxic thing every time I was passed along to another family through the system? At the beginning of a new placement, most of my brain power was used up in trying to acclimate to my new environment. But once that wore off and things were going well,
Those same thoughts would plague me at night, as if having cautious optimism was actually a double-edged sword that slayed me with doubt. I better not be trouble. I better be helpful. I better be just better, or it's off again to start from scratch. And I hated it, never having a home, just a port of call for a while until I was shipped back out like cargo or hauled away like garbage. And it wasn't until I was looking at a miniature reflection of the sad kid I used to be when I realized maybe that small, hurt thing inside me never really had its chance to heal from it all. But maybe I could make sure the same fears didn't eat Rylan up inside like they almost did to me, and it would be like a redemption for both of us. So I took a deep breath. "When I was your age," I started, and I sensed how the boy became very still as he gave me his full attention. "I was given to a lot of different people, just like you were. Most of them didn't keep me for very long, and I was sent away to go live somewhere else over and over again."
"You were?"
he whispered, and he curled into me even harder, as if I was the one who suddenly needed the support, which maybe I did. "Yes, I was," I nodded and swallowed around the tightness in my throat. "So I understand what you feel like better than you think. But Rylan, you belong here. You may have been given to me, but you're here now, and here you'll stay. No matter what."
"Really?"
He hesitated and looked up at me for the first time since I entered his room. His face was tear-streaked and way too pale for my liking, but the thing I hated most was the doubt etched into the lines of his face, much too young to have to know such hardship. So I did the other thing I always secretly wished when I was still young enough to fantasize that someone would still come and offer me a home. "Look at me," I commanded, and Ryland's eyes darted up to mine again from where they dropped to stare hollowly back at the blankets. "No matter how you came here, you're mine now, kiddo. Get it? You're mine, and I'm never giving you up, no matter how good or bad you are."
But,
the boy stuttered as he struggled to comprehend what I was telling him.
I'm not.
I wanted him to take his time figuring out how to put his, no doubt, chaotic thoughts into words. But I could almost see smoke coming off his head. He was thinking so hard. So I gave him a little nudge. "You're not what? My son?" I ventured. And I could tell I hit the nail on the head by the way he hid his face again by resting his head back on my chest.
"I'm no one's son,"
he finally whispered in such a forlorn voice. I couldn't help but hug him tightly for a moment. "Neither am I, but maybe you can be mine, if you want," I said, and waited again for him to wrap his mind around having his worldview upended once more.
You want me as your son?"
he finally found the courage to ask. "Only if that's what you want," I told him.
"I won't. Yes, I won't,"
he said, and nodded his head as if he was a bobble figurine.
"I could be a really good son. Oh, no, I can. Please give me a chance, Alex."
"It's not about me giving you a chance. It's about you giving me one," I said. And I pulled him up a little so he would look at me again. This was the most important thing I wanted him to get, or else he would always have that doubt in the back of his mind that at any moment I could send him packing. "Rylan, whether or not you accept, nothing you do will ever make me change my mind about you. The only way you'll leave Ithaca is if you want to. And if that time ever comes, we will figure out where you want to go and how to make it happen. So, really, what I should be asking you is if you will do me the honor and let me be your foster dad."
"Foster dad?"
he piped. "Mm-hmm. It's kind of special because it means I'm your dad by choice and not by obligation," I explained.
"So, it's like better because you chose me?"
His eyes shone with the last of his tears as a new dawning of hope started to take the place of his earlier sorrow. "What can I say?" I shrugged and ruffled his sand-colored hair. "You kind of grew on me like a fungus." "Phew, and you smell like one, too." My teasing had the desired effect, and the kid giggled and laid his head back down against me.
I think I'd really like you to be my foster dad, Alex,
he said, and I felt his tired body finally release the last bit of tension he was holding on to.
Do I call you dad?
You can call me whatever you feel comfortable with, kiddo, I said, and petted my hand through his tangled hair. He settled down quietly after that, and I could tell he was processing everything we'd just talked about. Part of me acknowledged he still might need some time to truly believe everything I was saying, but it just made me that much more determined to prove to him I meant every word. At some point, the exhausted stable boy finally dropped off to sleep, and I carefully slid out from under him so I could tuck him in properly. When he was all snug like a bed burrito, I spent a moment just looking down at him while my head rearranged space to include the little orphan who had snuck in and robbed a small corner of my heart when I wasn't paying attention. It was only natural then for me to smooth back his bangs and leave a small peck on his brow in order to complete the transformation inside of me. If this was how being a father felt like, then I really had nothing to worry about for the future. In fact, now I was excited for Zoe and I to have kids. When I finally made my way back out into the corridor, I was surprised to see it wasn't as deserted as I figured it would be at this time of night. What are you doing down here? I asked Zoe and Shay when they both came to me from where they were leaning against the wall outside of Ryland's room.
I awoke feeling much better and wanted to find everybody,
Shay said in a low voice.
I came out just as Zoe was headed toward me, and since my ankle is feeling better, we decided to wait for you.
Oh, I said, and my smile was pleased. I'm glad.
Alex,
Shay breathed, and then suddenly she was cupping my face with both hands as she looked me deeply in the eyes.
We heard what you said to Rylan.
Oh, I said again, and that bruised feeling made me rub a palm against my sternum. No more words were needed beyond that, and I smiled wider even though my eyes stung for some reason, especially when I found my arms full with both of my beautiful wives.
Let us care for you, husband,
Shay murmured at some point, and I let them both take me back to our shared bedroom on the third floor, where we all helped each other change out of our day clothes. It felt right to be skin to skin, so none of us bothered with changing into night clothes, and we all crawled under the blankets into one pile. That night, dreaming felt like constantly trying to surface from an unforgiving riptide. I was constantly swimming toward precious air and freedom that was impossibly far, yet just out of reach. And whenever my head did manage to break the surface, roaring flashes of sound and color pummeled me back down beneath the waves and into silence and blackness. Something about this confusing kaleidoscope vortex was familiar, and in the midst of trying to survive the tumult, I began to notice familiar snatches of faces and people as they revolved in and out of my vision like some swirling, dizzying merry-go-round. Faces of all the people I'd grown to care about tore past my mind's eye, but no matter how hard I reached for the surface, there was nothing to grab onto, and I continued to spiral down and down and down.
Wake up, Alex,
Shay's voice pierced through the inky waters of my subconscious, and I rose up into wakefulness with a gasp. The morning light was blinding, but even brighter than that was the electric shock of an epiphany as it hit me over the head like an icy snow shovel. That niggling little notion I felt hooking my brain earlier finally made sense. But to be sure, I needed to speak with Mech.